Well, a very warm welcome to St. Matthew Surbiton this morning, whether you're watching live, whether you watch it later in the day, or perhaps later in the week. You are very welcome as we come to worship God together. The general rule is the words are going to come up on the screen. I say the words in white, and you respond, please, with the words in yellow. We are not once a week friends. We are the family of God. We are not a cozy club. We are the body of Christ. We are not here by accident. Our Father has called us to worship. We are not just filling up an hour. Jesus wants to know him, us to know him better. We are not just going through the motions. The Holy Spirit is working in us. So come, draw near to our God, and God will draw near to us. It's great that we can have that sense of coming together, as I say, not in the building, but worshipping together. And we do that in the words of our first hymn. So can I suggest you stand as we sing together, God of, no, we don't sing, you can sing, I can't sing, so you sing away and I'll enjoy the words. You sing, God of grace and God of glory. We come now to our prayers of penitence. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Once again, some words of confession will come up on the screen, and you are invited to join in after some moments of quiet for our own personal reflection. Holy and wise God, we are sorry that the world which you created is not as you made it. Holy and generous God, we are sorry that too often we think of short-term gain for self and not long-term good for all. Holy and active God, help our governments to act to ensure justice and equality for all. Holy and loving God, hear our prayer and lead us towards a future where your will be done. Amen. May the Father forgive us by the death of his Son and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all our days. Amen. We are going to have our first reading now, and as we've done in the past couple of weeks, we are going to have a psalm that we read responsively. And I'm fairly sure that this is Psalm 111. Thank you, the preacher has just confirmed that was what she chose. So I'm going to lead us if you would respond. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. So we come to our second reading in just a minute, but I wanted to point out that we are repeating the reading from just 2 weeks ago. We don't normally do that, but I think it's really an interesting reflection that Janice, our preacher this morning, and I chose the same gospel reading. I was talking about 7 whole days in a time of COVID and joy, and Janice has chosen it for her sermon, 7 whole days in a time of COVID and evil. So let's hear what that gospel has to say to us on this particular subject.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Wherever we are in our homes, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we rejoice that you are Lord. You are Lord over everything. You are Lord over all evil. And Lord, we pray that today you would open our hearts and minds to your lordship and to your victory over all things that seek to defeat us. And we pray in your name. Amen. Well, Helen is helping me out considerably through giving this sermon, because as some of you know, I'm an ordinand and I'm part of St. Augustine's College of Theology training to become ordained. And at the moment, I'm doing a module on evil. And one of the things that we have to do is how you express evil to, and talk about evil to a congregation, because we don't actually do it very often. And perhaps we should do it more. So thank you for this opportunity, particularly within the context of the series of on seven whole days. We want to be Christians living for God for seven whole days. Not only Sundays or in our leisure time, but over the whole of the week, over all time. Helen talked about seven whole days of joy in times of COVID. And today we look at seven whole days of, in times of COVID and evil. But why do we need to look at evil at all? Shouldn't we be looking at Jesus where we see total good? But to be seven whole days Christians on this earth, we need to be alive to two things. And they are these: the world as it is, and Jesus how he is. So I've got the three R's of recognizing and working out and working with evil in this world, and they are these. First of all, we need to recognize evil in the world. Secondly, we need to resist evil. And thirdly, we need to rejoice in the victory of Jesus over evil. So let's just think this morning about these three R's: recognize, resist, and rejoice. Let's first look at recognizing evil. As part of my work with the Church of England in World Mission, I once went into a situation that I have since come to describe as evil. I went into this particular community and people were reluctant to talk to us as outsiders. There was an uncanny atmosphere of threat. Things happened that left you asking why, and the simplest questions were met with silence or avoidance. I later discovered that this particular community was rife with bullying, lies, intimidation, lack of trust, financial impropriety, and hatred. It was a cycle of evil. At the time of the visit, I knew that something was wrong, but was unable to put my finger on it. And all I had to work on was intuition and surmise. Now, I have to say, and I'm happy to report, that the situation is now improved beyond recognition. A new bishop has turned things around, but at the time, it was tough. And that made me think how slippery, how deceptive evil is. And also how difficult it is to pin down. Think of some of the most horrendous evils that have beset this world in modern times. Probably your first thought is the Holocaust, but there have been many genocides and wars. And then there are the secret but horrific instances of abuse. We can become numb to the evil in the world. It's just too much. We can't take it in. And instances of evil fail to shock us. Or another reaction is that we can become overwhelmed. It's just too difficult. So let me hunker down, put my head in the sand, and then I'm going to be okay. And then, of course, there are the smaller evils that don't seem to matter so much but have their effect, like, for instance, theft and lies. And we ask, are they really evil? Evil is all around us, not least with COVID. And today I want to help us to define what it is and also say, as Christians, what we can do about it. So what is evil? Let me have a go. Evil is that which distorts or defaces the image of God in communities and individuals. Evil is that which prevents human beings and creation flourishing under God. Evil contravenes the law of God. And all of those are definitions that I've read in my textbooks. But I find the most convincing definition of evil is this: that evil is any form of violence or oppression of the body, mind, or soul, or spirit, whether large or small. Some evils have small consequences, and others have enormous consequences. But the key is that evil is any form of violence or oppression of the body, mind, or soul that stops you flourishing and that stops you following God. Now, under this, we ask, is COVID evil? It is probably, as the theologians say, a natural evil, that a destructive force which comes from nature. But taking our definition of evil as violence to the body, mind, soul, or spirit, it certainly is. Let's move on to look at resisting evil. And here we want to look at Scripture and see how evil is described and how we resist it. Scripture takes evil and its perpetrators absolutely seriously. And so often the presence of evil is represented in the devil, found mainly in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, but not so much. And I want to start with the first letter of Peter. And Peter writes, "Have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, abuse for abuse. But on the contrary, repay evil with a blessing." So for Peter, evil is repaid and resisted with blessing. Now, if you are a victim of evil violence in any form, the blessing may take time, healing, and forgiveness. It won't be easy. But many victims of violence can testify to coming to a place of healing, though not all. And some of you may be struggling with these issues. And if so, then please bring those issues to Helen. But why does Peter state this? This very difficult, this enormous difficult thing to do, which is to repay evil with blessing. He does it, I would suggest, because blessing breaks the vicious cycle of evil. In the example I cited from my own experience, if someone could have made a small step of blessing, the cycle of hatred, lies, and bullying might have been broken. But nobody could. Peter describes the devil as a roaring lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. Peter is writing to Christians suffering alienation and persecution in their communities. They need strength. And Peter says to the suffering Christians, discipline yourselves, keep alert. And we are called to be alert and take action in the face of evil. We resist through prayer, love, and blessing, not in our own strength, but always in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is Christ who has won the victory on the cross, not ourselves. So our prayer, our love, and our blessing is in the name and the power of Jesus. And that brings us to our third R, rejoice in the victory of Jesus over evil. In our gospel reading, we see the disciples returning to Jesus after they were sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God. And when they return, they are amazed at what happened. In your name, Lord, when we preached the kingdom, even the demons submit to us. But Jesus replies by saying that he saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Evil was being defeated through the preaching of the kingdom of God, and this was before the cross. But, Jesus says, don't rejoice that the demons submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. On the cross, all the forces of evil were thrown at Jesus. All the violence, the hatred, the conflict that had been and was to be perpetrated. And Jesus takes it and exhausts it on the cross, taking it into God to exhaust it so that there can be healing, forgiveness, redemption, and wholeness. And that is the good news. But why, you ask, are we still experiencing evil now if Jesus is victorious over it? We live in the in-between times between the cross and the final defeat of evil and the making of all things new, which is the second coming of Christ. Life in these times is hard, complex, and sometimes unfathomable. But we must place our hope in Jesus, crucified and risen, who has left us a remembrance of his sacrifice and victory in the Holy Communion. We can take heart and hope that whatever life throws at us, whatever evil we encounter, we are given the strength to resist it in Christ and the strength to share his victory. And we will be given that strength to trust and love and bless when it is most difficult. So to conclude, we recognize evil for what it is. We resist it in the strength and the love of Jesus. And we rejoice in the victory of Christ and that our names are written in the book of life. The kingdom of God is about breaking the cycle of evil and bringing new life and wholeness. And in this, God is calling us to take our part through our prayer and our action which breaks the cycle. Amen.
Janice, thank you so much for your words. You tackled some difficult stuff head on, and it may be for some of you that has raised issues of difficulty or pain. And if it has, then please do get in touch. If you'd like to talk it over, or if you'd like prayer, then do get in touch, and then either Janice or I can respond to you. We would really like to be able to minister to you if that sermon has spoken to you in a particular way. We are going to now say a creed reminding us of the God whom we worship, a creed reminding us of Jesus Christ in our midst, and the power of the Holy Spirit, as Janice has said, to help us in our earthly lives. So I invite you to stand wherever you are, and we say the creed. We believe in one God, who created us from nothing and goes on bringing to birth new things beyond our imagining. We believe in Jesus Christ, who entered our unknown journey and experienced all our living, who walked in our earthiness and can still be discovered in our midst. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who calls us on to truth in light beyond our seeing, who stirs within our being like a melody of possible music, who dances on before us in freedom of passionate life. Amen. We are now going to turn to prayer, and I'm delighted that Sarath Wirasinghe is going to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being in our midst, listening to us as we raise these prayers to you in the way your Son taught us. We pray today for the Universal Church of Christ. We acknowledge that the Church is the only real hope for mankind in these troubled times. We ask you to give compassion, wisdom, and courage to your church throughout the world, that she may, despite toil, tribulation, and tumult of war, be the catalyst of love and hope evermore. May this glorious vision be the blessing to the world through your church, for you are the builder of peace, builder of reconciliation, builder of vision, and the truth that sets the world free. We give thanks for all those people who serve the church in so many different ways, often with great personal sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for people who are prepared to use these gifts and talents for your glory. We pray for the Archbishops Justin and Stephen, our Bishops Christopher and Richard. We pray for Helen, Paul, David, William, and Caroline. We also thank you so much for people who serve you inconspicuously and yet so effectively week after week. We thank you for the work done for the spire and the other areas of the development of St. Matthew's. Lord, in your mercy. Bless this earth, the wonderful place that you have created for us to live in. Help us to make some changes in our lives so that the next generation will be able to enjoy your creation. May we pray today for the people who live in poverty. May the greedy focus on the needy so that the greedy and the needy can share a meal of joy in the brotherhood of mankind. Please help everyone to have an equitable share in the abundance of resources you have created. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for Her Majesty as she goes through unprecedented times of her reign. We pray for the UK government with the departure of key advisors to the Prime Minister. We pray for Britain as she leaves the EU and ask your blessing in this significant transformational change. We pray for democracy everywhere and ask your blessing on reviving and consolidating this form of government with the highest values inculcated by great leaders of the past with inspiring vision and total integrity. We pray for a smooth transition of power in the United States. Bless all leaders so that they may lead and not mislead. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those people who in this transitory life are in trouble, sickness, bereavement, or any other adversity. We pray especially for the 53 million people who have been infected with the COVID-19 and the families of the 1.3 million people who are bereaved as a result. We thank you so much for the amazing medical profession and all those who care for the elderly, where most people view their jobs as a calling to serve, often working long after their allotted time, such as Anthony from Surbiton, who spoke to the LBC this week. We thank you for their amazing kindness during this pandemic. We thank you for the creation of the vaccinations that hopefully will be able to make a difference. We thank you for the enormous ocean of kindness that the COVID has triggered in the whole community, reflecting you, our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, in your mercy, help us to be your tools on this earth and reflect at least some of the incredible compassion your Son has shown us. Help us to realize, Lord, that our resources are boundless as the universe when you bless them. Therefore, bless our compassion to be as deep. Therefore, Lord, be with us as we leave this act of worship. Embolden us to spread your message of love and hope. Let our actions here on earth be a shining light, drawing more and more people to you now and always. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, many thanks to Sarath for leading us in prayer this morning. Just a few notices to say that this coming Tuesday is our open PCC meeting. Every year we have a PCC meeting when we invite anybody who wants to come along to come and share the fun. And this year you can do that on Zoom. So if you'd like to join our meeting, it's 8 o'clock on Tuesday evening. Please do email either me or Julie in the parish office for Zoom details and you will be given them. Plea actually for some help. I've got some plans up my sleeve for Christmas and I could just do with a bit of support on a video of Christmas lights around the parish. If anybody fancies taking their camera out and doing that, it would be lovely to have an offer of that. And also we're planning to do the usual Christmas flyers and organise a distribution of that. And if somebody could also help me do that, I would love to hear from you. Do drop me an email. Thank you. Last week we had a couple of pictures of weddings and I promised I would show you this one. It's the wedding of Elizabeth and Roger, which was meant to take place yesterday in the pouring rain and howling gale, but in fact took place in some sunshine a couple of weeks ago before lockdown. So our love and good wishes go to Elizabeth and Roger. Lovely wedding photographs there. And can I also say thank you to everybody who was involved in our Zoom away morning yesterday, Look Up and Look Out. There were over 40 of us on the call. Janice, having a busy weekend for St. Matthew's, led us in content, thinking about Sierra Leone. And I think we had a really good time. I think you've been sent a feedback form if you were on that call, so please do let us have those back. But otherwise, it was really good to be able to have some social time together. And we'll think, following the feedback, what else we might do in the coming weeks and months. But it was a great morning, so thank you everybody who contributed so wholeheartedly and so generously to that morning. We are now going to have the opportunity. We've had a lot of words this morning, I'm conscious. So as we come to the communion table, we are going to enjoy our choir. They have been performing an anthem at home and then sending in their recordings. And then a lot of technology and time has taken place on them to give us our anthem this morning. The words, "Thou Lord only who makest me dwell in safety," seem very appropriate for our sermon subject this morning. So let's have some quiet and time for reflection as we enjoy the choir singing, "Lead Me, Lord." Thank you to the choir for that anthem. We're now going to share the peace. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. You can offer a socially distanced, appropriate peace, either by waving at the screen or sending a word on chat, or maybe if you're sharing this worship with someone in your company, you can wish to offer them peace. Peace be with you, Janice. And those on the VMix desk, peace be with you. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home, to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. This is his story. This is our song, Hosanna in the highest. The crowd came out to see your son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. This is his story. This is our song, Hosanna in the highest. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it, and said, "This is my body shed for you all. For the forgiveness of sins, do this in remembrance of me." This is our story. This is our song, Hosanna in the highest. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us all and the world. This is our story. This is our song, Hosanna in the highest. Send your spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with opened eyes and hearts on fire. May we and all who share this food offer ourselves to live for you and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Now we come to our prayer of spiritual communion for those not in church. I will be receiving the bread and wine, and Janice will receive the bread on behalf of you as the laity. But we now say this prayer together. Come, Lord Jesus, dwell in me and send your Holy Spirit, that I may be filled with your presence. As the hem of your garment touched in faith healed the woman in the gospel, so may I be healed. Although I cannot receive you in the sacrament, I can, through this offering of my prayer, receive you in my heart. Grant this for Christ's sake. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of Christ. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. Amen. We say together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We are nearly at the end of our service, and so just about to sing our final hymn. Can I say it's been good to see the comments coming in from everybody, lots of people wishing each other well on our Facebook comments. Sorry to those who lost the video for a bit. I don't quite know what happened there. We will investigate that. Also to ask you to hold in prayer our fuel group, which is meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock. That's members from across the three team churches meeting at 5 to enjoy some fellowship led by Jen and Simon from St. Matthew. So remember them, please, at 5 o'clock. Hold them in prayer. Our final hymn this morning is one really taking the theme of Janice's sermon on and encouraging us all to lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. You can stand and enjoy singing this one with gusto. I will stand and enjoy the words. So as we come to the end of our service, a final prayer of blessing. God the Father, keep us in his care. The Lord Jesus Christ, be our constant friend. And the Holy Spirit, guide us in all we do, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.